A prayer, or perhaps a reverie, about the downside of my lifelong love affair with computers. The moments that last for minutes, hours, or even days when they disappoint me fill me with rage as I try to understand all the rules and functions that have long been outside my grasp, and the work that I do to avoid this situation, yet always seem to find myself back in it again and again. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Jeff Atwood, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. It's not overly important what the current problem is. The fact that it involves some hardware not working when I turn on the machine, that I've gone through the whole range of cables and swap-outs of parts and pieces, trying to get myself to a base of understanding about what might be going wrong. Looking at how it's going to go, it'll probably be a simple matter of some cables or maybe a whole new machine. But regardless, I find myself once again deep in this experience, this swamp of frustration, dealing with machines that I have known all of my life. A server that I buy now has the runes, the configuration, the aspects of machines that I've been dealing with for decades, from when I opened up my IBM 5150 to attach an expansion unit to it, understanding how the cards were laid out and how the different symbols meant different things about what my options were. All of this is both not new and completely unknown at the same time. The hardware issue I'm dealing with now is a cacophony of possibility. Perhaps a dead replacement part replacing the dead part of the machine that I'm trying to replace, or a base functional issue that this machine has had since I bought it. There is a not insubstantial number of people listening to this who will immediately rise up, wanting to help, wanting to give me hints, rules, ideas of where they think I should be looking next, who wish they could ask me more about what the actual problem is, the architecture, the vendor, all of these concrete parts of a puzzle they want to assist me in putting together. And I have to separate this. By the time you hear this, the problem will probably be solved. I'll have figured out that I failed to press something in all the way, or I forgot to attach a cable. That's not why I'm here, not what this is about. This is about the fact that this has been a fundamental part of my computer experience for all of my life. From my early days of having a Commodore Pad or an Atari 800, I opened them up to see the secrets inside, which at the time I had very little to no understanding of what did what. Maybe a wire or two that would go to a part of the machine that I recognized. Maybe the labels on the circuit boards would give me a hint. But fundamentally, at age 11, 13, 15, I wasn't really aware of what I was doing. I can remember, for some reason, a very specific time on Long Island when I was driven down to meet a couple of hackers before going out to eat. And we went into their bedroom where they were trying to make a PC work. The conversation between those two close friends struck me because it was so technical and so specific to the deepest aspects of this machine. I realized in a way that echoes to now how little I understood about these machines. I had already spent thousands of hours with these machines. They were what my waking hours were for. I'd go to bed dreaming of something I wanted to make, and then wake up and run over to the keys before I could even type straight and start making basic programs or logging into BBSs to give just the right response to a message I had read the previous day. By my teen years, these machines were woven into my very existence. I knew what they were about. I knew the potential that was there. And as time crawled on for a teenager, I got a lot of that to become reality. I learned about long-distant places that would be able to give me programs and demos and writings that I would never get from my friends or the places I was living in physically. The fact that I could dial a number and find myself in another neighborhood with its own vernacular, its own people and characters, and I could be a part of that before moving on to the next stop in my tour. It was so alluring, so indescribably gravitational to my being, that in my darkest times of the present, I'm not sure what I gave up focusing so much on that way of living. Certainly my parents had made efforts for me to get sunshine and social interaction. My father built a clubhouse in the back of our property so that I would have something of attraction to the neighborhood kids, a place we could all hang out and do things together, where I'd become kind of the leader in some way, the person that everyone depended on because I had the cool hangout space. They sent me to day camps. They enrolled me in sports. They tried their best to make sure that there wasn't something I was missing in all of this. But the fact remained that of my siblings, I was the one who loved the screens. And along with that love, there was a time that the insides of the machines held as much interest for me as what they did. Opening them up by figuring out where all the screws were, looking at what the circuit boards did, and reading in magazines what expansions and parts could be added to make my lovely machines even more powerful. But by my 20s, in the 1990s, something had changed. The domination of PC-compatible machines meant that it wasn't always an adventure to open up one of these boxes. You knew where everything was going to be, and nearly every single part had a third-party version, cheaper or more expensive, but mostly doing the exact same thing. Sound cards and video cards, choosing motherboards, choosing which wiring, acquiring memory and plugging it in. I was definitely doing all this, acquiring them from places like Micro Center and running home to plug them in, yet it was all becoming kind of the same. And I think somewhere here, in the cusp of when it stopped becoming my hobby and it started to become my job, that it all just felt very different. Something about coming into the office with a list of tasks that I had to do, opening up the back of machines and doing installations for customers over and over again. Hard drives to be installed, memory to be plugged in, or carefully making sure that network settings were just where they needed to be, didn't just take the flavor out. I think it lost its context for me as something that was mine. Something that was my personal experience with these machines, a sense of delving into a place to understand it, figure out how to improve it, and then emerge more powerful in one way than I was before. Now it was a ticket opened by someone else, a ticket I had to close with an explanation that the job was done. Boxes turned into servers, servers turned into blades, blades turned into virtual machines. Each one of them with their own scripts and procedures and requirements. And yet, at home, my machine stayed pretty much the same. As I've said before, I didn't buy many personal machines. I would buy a machine, use it for upwards of a decade, and then upgrade. There is a big difference between what you get in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, and now, Working inside of an office, in a job I could have never dreamed would fall into my hands in decades before, I find myself less excited, sorting through cables, double-checking hints and connections and potentials for things to go wrong, and just wanting for it to work. This, I realize, has plagued me for a very, very long time. These beautiful vehicles that I ride into the nights with, that provide me the stage to be myself and not myself online, will also, here and there, disappoint me with their dysfunction, lack of working, the labyrinth of interconnected parts that I'm not sure are feeding into each other properly, that there's some set of secret moves in between different Reddit boards and forums that would tell me that putting it into one slot is perfect and the others are a terrible idea. I'm tired, I guess, at this late stage, of the code, the underlying unspoken language that provides us with all of these commoditized machines, created all around the world, assembled both professionally and by amateurs, and then provided to me to do one of a set of functions: communicate with the world, digitize whatever's in reality, and let me consume joy, media, music, from a pool of potential that would exceed the rest of my life. It's been a long time coming to understand how I got here. But now that I am, all I can really say is that for all those terrible days of frustrations, those nights of going to bed realizing the problem wasn't solved, those days waking up nervous and annoyed, trying to figure out why my machines were not working right, and running through like a list of suspects which part, which process, which configuration was the culprit, I wish beyond wishing that it didn't have to be the case. But like the aches and pains of the heartbreak that comes with seeking out true love, like fighting over nothing and reconciling over everything, there's no doubt in my mind, running the tally, calculating the totals, that these transient pains, these moments of annoyance bringing my tools back into a functioning state, have been worth it for the journeys that I have taken and that I will continue for the rest of my life to take. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to Josiah Lusher, James Bekoyanu, Mark Pilgrim, Emilio Oliveira, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, Craig Talbert, Dileep Reddy, Sean Kelly, Trixie the Cat, John Sturm, Eugene, Sembiance, Martin, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. The key to not going crazy when dealing with a problem that seems both intractable and mysterious is to switch it up, with very little exception, and you should be able to recognize those exceptions. Everything can wait. A night, a few days, resting on it instead of trying the same things over and over, trying to find where you did it wrong and realizing that ultimately you never did, is one of the most important pieces of advice that I can give to you. Diversifying your efforts, walking away from one problem to confront another, to work on something so boring, so annoyingly banal that you've left it going for a week, is your antidote to the ever-frustrating problems of something unique that's staring you in the face and feels like you're just 5 minutes away from victory. Ultimately, most of what I'm working on is going smoothly. Avoiding it and not maintaining it so that I can lose days of work trying to figure out this other problem is the misstep that I have found myself making on and off for about 30 years, and I hope for at least one of you, this advice, like Marley to Scrooge, will inspire you to turn away and take a break.